You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
What's up, Smile Squad? It's your audible boo thing, Amber Smiles Jones. Welcome to the Professionally Silly Station, recorded with the Anchor app. Unfortunately, this particular podcast is not going to be a silly one. I did have a different episode prepared for today, but early this morning, Empire star Jussie Smollett was assaulted in a homophobic hate crime in Chicago by two white men screaming, "This is MAGA country," and other racial and homophobic slurs at him. Now, Jussie was hospitalized after a brutal attack by the two homophobic Trump supporters. It was around 2 a.m. around when this happened. Not only did they beat him, but they wrapped a rope around his neck and poured a chemical substance on him. It is thought to be that that particular chemical substance was bleach that was thrown on him. The incident did occur around 2 a.m., not too long after Jussie arrived to Chicago from New York. According to Instagram's Baller Alert, he was on his way to Subway for a late snack when someone yelled, "Aren't you that faggot on Empire, nigger?" Both white men were wearing ski masks, and Jussie fought back as best he could, but they beat him badly and even fractured a few ribs. They put a noose around his neck, poured bleach on him. As they left, they yelled, "This is MAGA country." Now, after the attack, he was able to get himself to a hospital where he was actually, thank goodness, later discharged. Now, as I'm sharing this with you, I'm becoming more and more full of anger and fear because they knew exactly who he was. And I know this because it's said that 8 days ago, according to TMZ, that Jussie got a note that was sent to Fox Studios in Chicago. Now, that's where they film the show Empire. The note was cut out letters spelling, "You will die, black fag." And there looked like to be a photo or a picture that was drawn of someone holding a gun and shooting Jussie is who it seems to be. Now, the envelope that the note arrived in appeared to say MAGA in the upper left-hand corner. Now, Chicago PD says that they're investigating the incident as a possible hate crime and that they are canvassing the area for any surveillance videos. Possible hate crime? Are you fucking kidding me? What about this isn't a hate crime? They called him a nigger, a faggot. They tied a noose around his neck and poured bleach on him while beating him. That shit, it screams hate to me. I don't really understand this, to be honest with you. ACT UP New York on Twitter says, and I quote, "When a community member is attacked with racially and homophobic charged words, it is a hate crime." Let me read that again. "When a community member is attacked with racially and homophobic charged words, it is a hate crime. Not alleged, not possible, not apparent. We demand justice for Jussie Smollett. Now that is a tweet coming from at Act Up New York on Twitter. And I gotta say, I 100% agree with what they said. They still have the veil over their eyes when you think about it. And it's sad. The sad part is that a lot of people think that this shit is new. This is just the most current. And we happen to be hearing about it because Jussie is well known. And just think of this. Okay, when you think about it like this, if it can happen to a wonderful man like Jussie, it can happen to any of us. And it does happen more often than you may think. Now, I would love it if you guys would call in and share your opinion about this. If you have a story that happened to you or someone close to you, I want you to be heard. I don't really have a huge platform, but I want to use the small voice that I do have to help bring awareness to this horrifying problem that we have, not only in this country, but around the world. You know, there are some countries who openly kill homosexuals and encourage their citizens to do the same. Earlier this week, I came across an Instagram page called Where Love is Illegal. And they posted a picture of a man from Egypt who had blood all over his face. And of course, the image caught my eye, so I decided to take a look at the post. And what I read, the anger I felt as I read this was just, it was real, you know. And I want to go ahead and I want to share this post with you. So I found the post on the Where Love is Legal Instagram page, and this is a story that happened in Egypt, and it says, I was leaving my house heading to a movie theater when a car stopped in front of me. Three men stepped out of the car and started beating me up. They were about to kidnap me, except that one of the workers in my neighborhood saw what happened and ran toward us. They jumped back into the car before one of them said to me, the next time you'll be stabbed in your stomach. Fahid, and I apologize if I'm saying his name incorrectly, Fahid is a gay man from Egypt. After learning he was cancer-free, he posted on Facebook, drawing thousands of likes, but also attention to his account, which said he is gay. Hate messages began flooding in, and after a few weeks, he was attacked in the street. More threats continued, and Egyptian police arrived at his mother's house to arrest him. On Thursday the 13th of December, I received a phone call from someone who said to me, we know you're leaving Egypt, but we will slaughter you before you do. But I left Egypt. This picture was taken after the first attack. So on their page, it says, read Fahid's story with the Where Is Love Illegal hashtag campaign, a platform for LGBTI stories of discrimination and survival. So that's pretty much what their page is about. And when I came across that, I was furious. And I came across this just yesterday. And then to wake up this morning only to find out that one of the people that I respect actually... You know, I actually idolize Jussie Smollett, to find out that even he can be a target on something like this. It's just very eye-opening. Man, I gotta tell you, that is some heavy shit. The fact that the police over there went to his mother's house to arrest him. Do you understand? You know, that is just, we complain a lot about how things are here, and I'm not saying we don't have the right to, because things are harsh. Look what happened to Jussie just this morning, you know? But to be arrested for being gay, to receive threats like this by like thousands of people, hundreds of people, that's just terrifying, you know? And this is something that needs to come to light. Because it's something that many people don't think about because it doesn't affect them directly, you know, and unfortunately, that's how a lot of things work in this world. If it doesn't affect us directly, then it means it doesn't exist and it's not important. But I'm hoping that this podcast will reach the ears of many people that will bring them to, you know, to understand that this is happening. I want to make them aware. I also decided that I wanted to bring in another wonderful podcaster who is also a part of the Black and LGBT community. She's got her own podcast. You know, I'm going to go ahead and let her introduce herself.
Let's see if this works this time.
Okay. Hey, do I got you on here?
Yeah. I don't know what happened at first.
Yeah, that was crazy, wasn't it? It took me a second to get
the
you
first
on
time.
Here.
The first time it popped up on my phone, and then it just went away, and then it popped up on the Chromebook. So,
yeah. Wow. Well, we got you now. That's all that matters. Right. Well, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners?
All right. Well, hi, everyone. I am Javia Nicole. I am the host of Black Radical Queer Podcast, produced by Main Hustle Media. And it's bittersweet. I'll say to be on with Amber today. I mean, I enjoy talking to Amber, so that's, you know, cool, but it's like the circumstances are terrible. So that's why I say it's bittersweet, but that's who I am for those of you all who do not know me.
Well, it is amazing to have you. And thank you again for joining this podcast, because I feel like the issue is very serious. It's very important. And the fact that something like this could happen to someone as well known as Jussie Smollett, it's insane, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's also kind of, it makes it even more scary, because that lets you know how fearless these type of hate mongers really are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, hate is a hell of a drug. So when people are fueled by that, they feel invincible. You know, they feel like they can accomplish anything, they can do whatever the hell they want to do. I feel like they have like this, it's almost like an addiction or something, where they just think they could just be reckless and do whatever they want to do. And it ends up impacting people like Jussie or like other, you know, LGBT folks. And the thing that, something that you said that really, everything you said definitely was spot on, but something that you mentioned just when you're talking about the story and just kind of giving the facts, and Chicago PD looking at it like, oh, well, you know, this is being investigated as a possible hate crime. And when I was doing my reading, it was talking about, they're investigating it as battery. And they didn't even, at that time for that article, they didn't even mention investigating it as a hate crime. And so that really stood out to me, because, you know, it really shows that our stories, when you look at the lives of Black queer people, our stories are not seen as credible. Mm-hmm. Like when we go through things, our pain is seen as less valid. There's this history, like historically, Black folks are looked at like we can take more pain. Like we have a higher pain threshold than other people. Like we're just built for it. Like that's the historical belief. And so that's the attitude that people have when they see these stories, like, you know, we're just expected to be strong through everything, like, oh, you know, just pull mm-hmm. through and, you know, it'll be okay. And it's just, and it's like, what folks don't understand is that when you're living, this is why on my show I talk a lot about intersectionality, because we cannot separate being Black and being like LGBT. We exist in both at the same time. And so we can't just be like, oh, it's, you know, it's fine, and just, you know, keep, we can't act as if it doesn't impact our day-to-day lives. Like this is an everyday possibility, an everyday fear.
Exactly.
And so I think that this happening is a prime example of that reality, of the fact that just by existing, and this is another thing that came to mind for me when you were talking about the guy in Egypt, but to be basically deemed undesirable or criminal simply by your existence. Like with the guy in Egypt, he simply, by, I mean, like just existing, not doing anything bad, anything wrong, by his very existence was deemed a criminal. So they're like, okay, we're going to lock you up. Or with Jesse being like, you know, him just living his life, walking, going about his business, and he's deemed undesirable. So they're like, oh, well, we're going to have to get rid of him.
It's ridiculous. And it sucks. You know, it's just plain ridiculous. Because not only is Jesse Smollett literally pretty much exactly like the character that he plays in Empire. Very, very mm-hmm. humble, very kind, very loving individual. Mm-hmm. You know, for them to, and they knew who he was. This was... They knew right. who he was.
Oh, they specifically made it known that they knew exactly. who he was. So it's, no one is exempt. Like we have, and that's the thing too. Because sometimes people have that attitude of, oh, well, if I just, you know, if I just lay low or if I just live my life this, that, you know, this kind of way or whatever, I'll be fine. But you can be an amazing person. You can do 50 fundraisers and work for 500 charities mm-hmm. and stuff. It doesn't matter because you, as long as you exist in a black body and a queer body and a black queer body, you are a target. Oh,
especially if you're both. It's bad exactly. enough to be black. It's bad enough to be mm-hmm. gay. But how dare you be black and gay?
It's compounded. Yeah, it's like it. So that's what I mean about we can't separate because when you're just existing, like you're existing as both at the same time, and so people are responding to both at the same time. And he was targeted for both. I mean, the remarks that they made. Let it be known that it was racially motivated and it was also motivated by his sexual
orientation. It was in other words, it was a fucking hate crime through and through.
There absolutely. No it's time. I mean, there's no way, it's no debate. So the fact that they're saying, oh, possible, that pissed me off. Because already you're expressing like this lack of credibility. Like, oh, it may or may not. No. Let's look at what happened. It's no question about it. But the fact that you're inserting a question where there is none pissed me off, honestly.
Yeah.
That's
it definitely hits home because, you know, a lot of people have their own stories or own experiences that happen similar to Jesse, maybe not as bad or maybe even worse. You know, some of these stories, mm-hmm. some people didn't get to live.
Some people don't live.
Look exactly. at Marsha P. Johnson. You feel me? She never got
so,
to live.
So many people don't live
to really do more good, you know.
Right, because Lord knows that was a soldier there. That was just a trailblazer, and that being cut short by hate, you know. I mean, I was mentioning to Amber in when we had a conversation. I have dealt with
Amber's closet.
No,
oh,
you.
Me. I'm like, what did you talk to in the closet? What that you didn't tell me?
Lord. No, we were just talking before. But when I was younger, so I'm 30, when I was like, I want to say maybe 15, I know I was like in my early teens, so either 14 or 15, no older than 16. So I was in Atlanta, because that's where I'm from, and I was just minding my business. Me and a friend of mine were actually walking down the street. And at this time, when I came out, you know, I was a little baby lesbian. At the time, this was the time where everybody wore rainbow mm-hmm. stuff, like rainbow popping, you know, it was like really, really popular. Yeah. For you to make yourself bracelets.
Yeah, rainbow. Yeah.
Yeah, we were like walking pride daily, you know. So I was probably like 14, 15. So we're walking, me and my friend are walking down the street coming from work and minding our business. Now, me, I was kind of tomboy-ish presenting, not super masculine, not super feminine, kind of that, kind of in between. And then my friend was masculine presenting. Still, you know, you could clearly tell that she was a woman, but, you know, more masculine of center. And I feel like we may have had the appearance of possibly being a couple mm-hmm. or something, maybe. Also had on like some rainbow stuff, not like ridiculous, but maybe like a bracelet. I had on a bracelet, whatever. So we're just walking, talking, laughing. These guys, they pull up beside us. We're in downtown Atlanta. These guys pull up beside us in their car, and it's like three guys in like a convertible, and they start yelling at us, start yelling like slurs at us and calling us dykes and telling us that we were nasty, that we're going to hell. And we, I don't know how much I should say, because I don't know if your show is rated.
Yeah, you're fine.
They were like, you know, so calling us dykes, calling us bitches and all this kind of stuff, and telling us, you know, that they knew that some dick could change that. And it was real ridiculous. I'll never forget, because we were like, we kind of just, it just caught us off guard, because we're in our own little world, kind of just talking and laughing. Yeah. And they start throwing stuff at us and started following us. So we're walking to the train station. So we're just like, okay, how can we, so we start trying to, so at this point we're scared, because we're like, these are grown men in a car. We're already outnumbered. They're in a car. They're following us. They're throwing stuff at us. They've already expressed like disdain for us. So what do? So we start looking around like, where can we go? Basically go where they can follow us. Yeah. So we start looking for like somewhere, like go inside. And we ended up going inside of a business, like a restaurant or something. And just kind of looking out the window, glancing out the window until we saw them leave. Cause they were like waiting for us to come back out initially. And then they end up leaving. And it was terrifying.
I can imagine.
We didn't know how that was going to go. We didn't know how it was going to turn out. We just knew we were minding our business. And the next thing we know, we're being yelled at from a car and having things thrown at us.
And you're young girls at this time. So, of course, like, right. As an adult, we're like, that would have been terrifying.
We're probably like 14 and 16 or 14 and 15. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're teenagers. And we didn't know. So, I mean, my thing is, so many people are targeted at that point. Like, I instantly got into survival mode. Like, where can we go? Because I'm like, I don't know if they're going to get out the car because they start following us. So I'm like, are they going to park and hop out? Are they going to, you know, do more than throw stuff at us? Do they have weapons?
Yeah,
exactly. So it was terrifying. But the reality is, when you exist as a Black person, a queer person, a Black woman, whatever, like, that's a part of your reality. Like, you walk with a target on your back, because you never know.
You know, a lot of people sometimes like to discuss, you know, the differences or the similarities to being Black and to being Jewish. I cannot say I understand what it's like to be Jewish. Like, they can't say that they understand what it's like to be Black.
Right.
Because in my opinion, being Black can be a little harder, these days, simply because it's just the color of the skin immediately. You know,
correct. You can't hide it. Because you can be Jewish and be stealth.
Right. Correct.
You can blend in.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying that, you know, the history of what happened to them is not horrible, because it is. It's fucking horrible.
Right.
But I can only speak... you know, to what I have experienced and what I know to be fact, because I lived it.
That's why some things I feel like some comparisons should be made and some shouldn't, because absolutely what Jews went through was like horrendous. Yeah. Like, kidding me? That was ridiculous. But it's still different, because you still have some sort of privilege operating that we can never have. Unless you are a white passing person, which neither of us are. We are both chocolate.
I mean, I'm talking about the milkiest of the milkiest.
Listen, we're like the same complexion. So we both chocolate, all right? We can't pass with nothing but Black and Blacker. But we have no proximity to that privilege. So I do feel like that.
That's beautiful.
But that's the reality. It's the same thing too for, let's say if you're a white queer woman and you're femme presenting, then you still have that possibility of maybe being like stealthy.
You still have that veil.
People assume you're straight. And now it's messed up that people assume that, but that's a whole other issue. But you still have some type of privilege. That's why a lot of times, like, there are masculine presenting women and feminine presenting men who are targeted more, because they go against that kind of like the binary of that gender expression. They're more visible. You get that hyper visibility. So it's like, it's levels. I hate when people kind of try to make it seem like the oppression Olympics. I'm like, you know, it's all kind of struggles, but there are levels to this. And it's some stuff that we just don't have access to. And we ain't got access to that.
Yes, no. I tell you what, I still go to some stores, especially if I'm in Koreatown, the motherfuckers be staring me down, bro. Like, I feel like I gotta walk in with my hands up so they know I ain't touching nothing. You know what I'm saying? But
you know what's so crazy? I remember around the time when I first moved out here, me and my wife went in a beauty supply store. And we just mind our business, we shop, we come out. And the first thing we said to each other when we walked out, did you notice that they didn't follow us or stare at us? Like at the same time, like, did you? And they were like, dang, you noticed, like, crazy, because they're so used to that happening, because we can't hide.
You know, I gotta tell you, I do get that same kind of, I guess, tingly jolt when, like, an elderly white person holds a door for me, and I'm like, what? Fire, bro. Like, inside, I'm, like, doing backflips, and I'm like, we can make it, you know?
I cannot. That's hilarious.
You know, but as quoted by Martin Luther King Jr., injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And I certainly hope that Chicago PD is literally doing everything they can, because now that this has gone viral, everybody knows about it, his fans, his family, his friends, everyone. And that includes several celebrities, including the Brat, you know, Aisha Hines, Sherry Shepherd, and more. The entire cast of Empire, the writers, the crew, they all love him because he's a great person. So these two fucks who decided to do this, they don't understand that the internet is now at work, because we find shit out. The Chicago PD can't.
That's the thing. It's like, oh, that's what I was going to say. Like, we have some of the best investigative work is done by regular people on social media. And I mean, because the reality is the world is watching, but we see so many things happen, and it's like, we're all watching and we see regular people, you know, dig up more and find more information than the authorities. Yep. So that's like, that really has no bearing on them. They still do the same ridiculous things regardless whether we're watching or not, but a lot of times now it doesn't stop there, because we start doing our research and rallying against things. It's under the rug if we don't.
Exactly.
So many, if it's like swept under the rug, we bring it back to light. Like, hold up, no, this is not right. Y'all trying to act like this didn't happen. You know?
See, that's what happened with the young lady who was raped for years, killed her rapist. Then they threw her in prison for murder.
Centoya, you know. Brown. Yeah, I was just thinking about her when I was talking. I was thinking about Centoya. She was in prison for a long time. I want to say 6 years, but I'm trying to think, am I wrong? But I feel like that's correct.
A year is too long. 3 days was too damn long.
Right, and she's not going to be released until August.
Exactly.
Because she has to do her release plan. But that's the thing. I mean, we live in a world where you know, predators are still free, and people protecting themselves, children, this young girl who's now a grown woman protecting herself has been incarcerated for years.
And then another example of that would be, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but I'm also a part of the YouTube community. There was a YouTube channel called Daddy05. Have you heard of this channel?
This was
the channel, for those of you who don't know about it, this was a channel on YouTube where there was a mother and father who would prank, and I put that in quotations, prank their kids. Right. And this, especially one child in particular named Cody, they would do things like break his Xbox, make him slap his sister, and worse.
How are those pranks?
That is child abuse.
That is abuse. And it is so, like, how can you even do those things to your children? Like, that's what just, I'm like, I'm already out, because this, what you call pranks, like violence against your children, is funny to you? What kind of person are you?
And you know how this became mainstream, how the news networks finally picked it up? Because of actually one of the largest YouTubers named Philip DeFranco. He's got it's pretty much, his platform is the news. It's international, it's national, it's YouTube, it's everything. You know, a lot of people were saying, hey, Phil, have you heard about this? And they've been sending it to him. you know, and after a while it became viral. Everyone began talking about it. It was on Twitter. Several YouTubers had videos about it. Before you know, now the court system is now involved in this family. They lost custody of those children, you know, and their YouTube channel has been deleted. They were forced to delete all of those videos of their so-called pranks, which is actually aka child abuse.
Like, everybody shouldn't have kids, because I just, it really makes me question the type of, like, your character, for real, if what you find entertaining and amusing is terrorizing your children. I will never understand
that. Same thing goes for those who find it amusing to commit hate crimes, like beating, you know, Black men or gay men or you know, whatever, what have you, you know, causing pain that is brought out of hatred or just plain ignorance is never okay. And I always say, you know, I feel like ignorance should not be fucking bliss. That shit should be painful, you know. But people forget. People forget.
People are just victims of it, as opposed to, it's like, okay, other people got to deal with the pain from your ignorance instead of you dealing. Because it's so, I mean, I just have, well, yeah, I got issues with prank culture anyway, because I just think overall it's just kind of like, okay, this is messed up to treat people this way. But it speaks to this larger, that and like hate crimes, just all like violence against other people, hate against other people, speaks to this larger disregard for humanity, disregard for people's emotions. Just, it's just gross. Disgusting.
I completely 100% agree with you. And it's like they say, ignorance is temporary, but stupidity is forever. That is why I wanted to make this podcast, because I'm hoping people will share this and learn something, because, you know, we need people to do something. You just sit there not doing anything, not admitting what's actually happening around you, not correcting people who do these things, you know.
Hey, that part, just sitting by while stuff is happening. And that's if you're not a part of the solution, you're a part of the problem. Like, silence isn't acceptable. Like, people was like, oh, well, I don't do it. Yeah, but when it's happening around you, do you do anything?
See, that brings me to another Martin Luther King Jr. quote. In the end, we remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. You feel me? So it's just, he had me reading at a ninth grade level when I was in third grade. So my brain is just so full of.
I was telling somebody, oh, a former guest, like my first guest of the year. I was like, bruh, my mom gave us summer reading. It was not a game. Like, forget school. My mama gave us summer reading lists. Like, I was reading Invisible Man in elementary school.
Girl, I was on Moby Dick. I shouldn't have said it like that. I was on Moby Dick.
I know.
You know, Prince and the
Freezing.
Three Musketeers. Like, I had read Romeo and Juliet when I was in the second grade. And when you think about it, every movie is based on those novels that we loathe reading when it's time.
Same thing.
I think that's probably why when I was in high school, I actually found Frasier funny, because I understood what they were talking about.
Yes. That was my show. My wife picks on me because she's like, oh my God, you're such a nerd. I'm like, I love it. I love that nerdy, dry ass humor. It's great.
I'm gonna go ahead and rewatch the series on Hulu. We in this call. Hey. But I want to thank you again for joining me on this podcast, because this was a very important issue that I want to get out. And I also want to pretty much thank God that, I mean, yes, I have hardships, but I'm lucky enough to at least be in a country where the internet will actually be outraged as to what's going on and want justice to be served. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Versus being in a place like Egypt or Saudi Arabia, where you're killed for being who you are. Right. Just, there's no trial. There's nothing. You're a criminal. You're wrong. You know, at least we live in a time now where people are starting to get it. Now, I'm not saying everything is fixed and everything's hunky-dory, because it's fucking not. I mean, look what happened to you.
And we're still, plenty of people who are still being killed for who they are. It may not be government sanctioned technically, but it kind of is, but we won't go there. We look at law enforcement, so it's kind of like, we still
have a ways to go.
Like all over the world.
You're right about that. We got a little ways to go. I want to let your listeners as well as my listeners know that if you have a story that you would like to share, and even if you want to keep it anonymous, that's fine. You don't have to say your name. Or if you have an opinion on what's going on, whether you're with us or against us, give us a call. 805-664-1828. 805-664-1828. And love, I appreciate you joining me on this episode, on this podcast. And for anyone who joins and decides to call and you're not a part of this podcast, don't worry about it. You call in, we'll still put it on air, and we'll most likely bring Missy. I'm gonna call you JN because I can never say your first name right.
Lord.
Javier. Damn it. See? Some cultures at JB silent, so I thought maybe that was going on there.
No, that's what a lot of people think too. They're like, is it Javier or Javier? Javier. Usually, the funny thing is, usually people who speak Spanish get my name right on the first try.
Well, they also say Jaja when they're laughing during their text. So that's,
Yeah. Ja, ja, ja. Yeah.
but thank you so much for joining. And go ahead and drop how to find you as well as your podcast.
All right. Well, I can be found on Twitter as well as Instagram. And Facebook as Black Rat Queer. So it's at BLKRADQWR across all social media. My name is Javia Nicole. So if you look me up, but you probably don't know how to spell my name. So so you may not be able to find me that way. But Black Radical Queer is the podcast. So I have and you can listen wherever you listen to podcasts. So you can listen on Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeart Radio, all that stuff. So you can listen everywhere. And and then I have a Facebook discussion group as well where people can come in and like talk about the episodes and all that good stuff. So I'm out here in these streets, podcast streets. You can find me. And then I had Amber on my show, actually on a recent episode. So it was like a couple episodes ago, and we talked about all kinds. Well, you should listen. You should listen. And it was a good time. So check it out.
Well, I like that. That's a hell of a plug. Check it out. Once again, I'm your Audible Boo Thang, Amber Smiles Jones. And thank you so much for listening to the Professionally Silly Station here on Anchor FM, where I take my silliness seriously. Actually, this episode wasn't that silly, but the next episodes will start getting back to our silly grind, if you will. But I do like to touch the important subjects when they arise, like I did today. Thank you so much for listening. Once again, feel free to call in about any professionally silly episode that you've heard. 805-664-1828. You can call in, tell me which episode you listen to, and share your opinion, whatever it may be. Until next time, my loves, watch where you step, because there's pieces of shit everywhere. Thank you so much, love. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago, yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.